I actually, this morning, I literally came with two different messages this morning. One is one that I've worked on as a second part of our series, but I keep coming back to this one idea that I want to share this morning. So it's going to be more of an idea thing that I want you to capture. It's some stuff that I want you to catch in a different way. And so if you'll turn to, we're going to be in John chapter 6, and it's a long passage. It's 24 verses, but I'm going to skip around. So turn to John 6. We'll start somewhere around 33. And we're in a series called Every One of Us. The idea that every one of us is called to appointment. Every one of us has been given a spiritual gift. Every one of us has been given a place within the context of the local church and the church at large, okay? Every one of us has been ordained and anointed to do something, to be something for the glory of God and for the growth and maturity and healing of the local church, all right? So we went over that last week. It's every one of us. And I want us to have this idea that when you look at your body, think about your body, put your fingers up and look at your fingers. Which one would you be willing to cut off? Which one wouldn't you miss? Even in fact, look at your fingers and think, which one's the ugliest? I'll get rid of that one. All right? And what if your body, what if your hand this morning absolutely refused to shampoo your hair or to brush your teeth or to put on your makeup? If your hand, absolutely a part of your body, refused to function, then you would know there's something wrong with your body. If you couldn't put your finger up to your eye to check your eye, if you couldn't reach down to your knee to see if it's wounded, if you couldn't massage your arm when it's sore, or if your body part refused to do it, there'd be something wrong with your body. Or if your body didn't care that another part of your body was in pain. You know, your brain goes on high alert when any part of your body is in pain, right? And if it doesn't, there's something wrong with something in your body. Our whole body, it's touched when there's pain. Our whole body is touched when something's going on. And so there's every one of us needs to participate, is called to participate, is designed to participate in the context of a spiritual community. And I know there's a lot of, well, we don't need to go to church, well, we don't need to do that, and that all could be true. I think it's only partially true, and today we're going to look at some of those things. So let's start with John 6, 33. This is Jesus speaking for most of this, but I'm going to skip a lot because I want to focus on one thing. I want to focus on what's in this bag right here. So what's in this bag? Bread, okay? It smells good. Who would have known you could go to the store and buy an actual loaf of bread, not a round loaf, not a fancy loaf, but a loaf of bread that looks like grandma would have made it? I mean, think, it's not even cut. It's pretty amazing. It not only smells good, it looks good, and it feels good. And I'm going to connect today the body of Christ with the bread of life, okay? So that's my goal. And I don't have a straightforward path to get there, so I want you to think bread of life and body of Christ, and I want to connect the two, all right? And then in the next 30 minutes, I want to connect the bread of life with the body of Christ or with the local church. In verse 33, for the bread of life is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, the people listening, they said to Jesus, always give us this bread. If this is the bread you're talking about, we always want this bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. So we have an introduction of an idea of the bread of life, or the bread and the body and blood of Jesus, the bread and the wine. And skip down to verse 41. After this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. They're saying initially, we want the bread. Jesus says, I am the bread. They're saying, we want something other than the bread that you are. All right? And that's a lot of our conflict as Christians, as followers of Jesus. We constantly say, I want Jesus, I want the fullness of Jesus, but I don't want him that way. I don't want him given to me in that fashion. I want it to be something else. I want it to be my faith. I want it to be my good works. I want it to be something other than the very presence and power of Jesus in my life. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, I am the bread of life that came down from heaven. And they said to themselves in verse 42, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I came down from heaven? Another amazing ability we have as people, as part of the human race, but we see it in Christianity, we have the ability to ostracize or push out the answers that we don't like because of something we know about that answer or about that person or about that spiritual gift. And we'll talk more about that as the series continues. But I want you to get the idea that they're saying, I want the bread. Wait, now I'm offended that you say you are the bread. And there's a reason, because they can see with their senses and their eyes and their memory of who Jesus actually is. So then they don't want to accept, receive from him. Verse 47, so we're going to skip all those verses. Verily, truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. So your ancestors, I want you to hear this, your ancestors ate bread. They were thinking we get the bread of our ancestors, but the ancestors died. They're thinking we get the bread that is miraculously provided to us. And Jesus is saying there's a different bread miraculously provided to you that feeds a deeper hunger and quenches a deeper thirst than the bread and the provision in the wilderness. But mostly we like to see with our eyes and hear with our ears only superficial things, and we want our superficial comforts taken care of by Jesus, who has something much better to offer us. And he says in verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. And we know that he gives the life, he gives his flesh, right? He dies on the cross, he's crucified, resurrects, and ascends into heaven, and he lives with us today via the Holy Spirit. Then the Jews begin to argue sharply amongst themselves. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, verily, truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food. My blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. And the people listening go nuts. We assume they accuse him of cannibalism. We assume there's a lot of things that they're thinking in their religion of what he's saying, and they're getting a completely wrong image of what Jesus is saying. But I think we have a little bit wrong image also. We're going to go to that in just a minute. Verse 57, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died. But whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Okay, so a couple questions here. And you don't have to answer out loud. But first, is Jesus speaking about his physical flesh and blood? Is he asking them to eat his flesh and blood? And almost all of us go, yuck, no, I hope not. In fact, it was this, and so we have to get rid of that. So he's not talking about, you guys right here that are listening are going to partake of me physically, of my flesh and my blood, not now and not when I die. And then we jump to automatically, well, Jesus is speaking about communion. But I'm going to say that he's not speaking about communion. I'm going to say that he's speaking, yes, symbolically we partake, which we do at the first of every month. But then he's saying, you're limited to partake of me when you're in a group and you have bread and wine, even symbolically. I think he's talking about something much more deep, much more mystical, much more personal, and much more practical when he's talking about these things. I think he's talking about the same bread that was given to Elisha when he sustained, and the same bread that he's going to, several times in the New Testament, that he's going to take that bread, and he's going to divide it, and he's going to take a much smaller loaf than this, but he's going to take a piece off, and he's going to give that bread, and everybody's going to be able to consume that bread. The question this morning is, how do we all get to consume that bread? In a couple ways do we consume the bread. is we get the Word of God in us, right? We get the Word of God through reading the Bible, through reading books, through listening to preachers, and through coming to church, which is very important. I don't want to minimize that bread of life, all right? But most of us get the bread of life like this. Here, Joe, here's a piece of bread. Oh, he missed it. He doesn't get it today. So he leaves without the bread of life. But in the imagery, it's like chow down on the bread of life. It's like consume, partake of fully my flesh and my blood. It's not take a little piece. It's not hope to get a little piece. So we have Bible study, we have preaching, and then we have some meditation and worship that takes us into the presence of God that's maybe a little bit deeper, a little bit more powerful. And we have that we get to experience and consume and spend time with the very person of Jesus, of who he is. Okay, so we have that. But I want to, in connecting this bread with the body of Christ, I want you to look at 1 Corinthians 12:27. It's really short. You don't have to turn there. I'll tell you what it says. It says, every one of us is the body of Christ. Every one of us is the body of Christ. Everybody raise your hand and say, I am the body of Christ. Say it again, I am the body of Christ. Look at your neighbor, say, you are the body of Christ. So think about that. Now, if Jesus says, I am the bread of life, and you have to consume me, you have to consume Jesus. There's something inherently powerful and healing and life-giving in the bread of life, which is his body. And then we know that we are the body of Christ. Can we separate and keep separate the bread of life from the body of Christ, from our spiritual community? I don't think we can. I think we do all the time. I think we do all the time. I think that we think that we come to church, we do a part of our duty that we're supposed to do. We get some bread thrown at us, we get some crumbs, we get something, maybe we get some sort of revelation and something happens. But we're going to read, we read last week about out of Ephesians, a little bit out of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is that the body of Christ is given for every one of us to mature, for every one of us to be healed, for every one of us to experience Jesus through the body of Christ. We're supposed to be consuming one another. We're supposed to be relating one to another in a non-religious, non-superficial. That doesn't mean there's not religion. That doesn't mean there's not a superficialness to connect. That doesn't mean there's not emotions involved of who you do and don't like. We are called to connect one with another. And when we do that, there'll be another level and another layer of healing for us. I don't just mean from healing from church hurts. I mean healing in our physical bodies. We're going to talk about that today. I mean healing in our fear and our worry. You know, that's why when you come together and you hear these, I'm no longer a slave to sin. Our body is saying it together. We're agreeing together. I'm no longer afraid. And there's a lot of people in here that are afraid. In our small group, we've got people that are afraid. We've got people walking in poverty. We've got people in job loss. We've got people that have painful experiences in the past that they haven't been able to untie from. And we come together and we, in our worship, we experience the body of Christ. We experience the bread of life in our midst. But in our conversation, in our time together, there's something that's supposed to happen, that he manifests himself in the midst of the body of Christ. All right? And when we come together, we struggle. And I mean the journey we. The church in general struggles, the American church struggles, but we, the journey, we struggle with giving our gifts spiritually and receiving a gift spiritually. We struggle with that. We struggle with coming in and saying, I need to have lunch with somebody this week because something's messed up in my life. I need to confess my sin to someone this week because I need healing in that area and I need hope in that area. We don't do that. And I don't know what group does. I don't know who does, but I know that we are called to do that. And so this connecting of the bread of life and the body of Christ has a really unique picture, I believe. And it's something I struggle with. I studied it this week, and that's why I brought an entire three-point message. And then I typed out some stuff this morning with the scripture, and I brought both because when I left upstairs in my office at 7:30, I was like, I can't talk about this one. I go with the one that I already wrote that I enjoy already. All right. So if Jesus is the bread of life, and if we believe Jesus is always the answer, your emotions, Jesus is the answer. Your depression, Jesus is the answer. Your relationship, Jesus is the answer. Your financial problem, Jesus is the answer. Sure, you might need to learn about relationships. Sure, you might need to eat better. Sure, you might need to get on a budget and be around somebody that has some wisdom in finances. Sure, all of those things, yes. But foundationally, Jesus is the answer. And foundationally, the answer is not found outside of the bread of life or outside of the body of life. And I've always said, you know, if you don't have to go to church, which I believe you don't have to, but if Jesus is represented in the body of Christ, if the bread of life is represented in your spiritual community, why the heck would you try to get out of spiritual community? I read all the time on Facebook and emails, and there's a couple books out about how you don't have to be in church, and you don't have to do this, you don't have to worship corporately, you don't have to give, you don't have to engage, you know, just because you're in McDonald's doesn't mean you're a Big Mac, just because you're in a garage doesn't mean you're a car, just because you're in a church doesn't mean you're a Christian. And I like, yeah, that makes sense, but you know what? I don't think it does. We are called to be in community. And I think what happens, it's easy to be in church and not be connected, and to be sad about not being connected, and to realize I want more connection. So we then leave church, and we're still sad about not being connected. We still know we want spiritual community, but it's less painful to be in our room at our house watching TV than it is to be in a church and not be connected. But that's the wrong option. All right, that's the wrong option. The third option is to connect with Jesus more and more and more and begin to, and part of that process is to connect with people around us. We're to consume the body of Christ. We're to consume the body of Christ. It says when we consume his body, when we can drink his blood, that we will have eternal life, but it also says we will be in him and he will be in us. Uses some of the language that Paul uses. Jesus uses this phrase, we will remain in him and him in us. And a lot of times we think, I'm a Christian, I got salvation, I'm done. And now it's a painful long life from this point till the point I die. That my physical death will bring me more happiness, peace than the death of Jesus that I have right now living inside of me. There's a resurrection power inside of us that we have. And it's brought up, and it's encouraged out, and it's built up, and it's matured in the context of the body of Christ. And we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. There's no other option in Scripture. It doesn't matter if we call it a church or a Bible study, if we're just getting together, or if you have 10 good friends that you get gathered together with. We are the body of Christ, and we need to give into the body of Christ. And we need to receive from the body of Christ. That's where so much life is going to be for us. So check this out. So do you believe, again, don't answer, just right here, but make a commitment, yes or no. Do you believe there's healing power in the body of Christ? See, now you're thinking, oh, wait, does he mean the body of Christ, the resurrected body of Christ, Jesus, or does he mean like the body of Christ church right now? And I mean yes to both, because I think they're one and the same, that it's a representation. We are a manifestation of the body of Christ. And when every one of us comes together, even if we're just that finger that we come in and we do one thing in the context of this Journey Church, one thing that we are, that one, we know that we're going to be the person that every time we're here, we're going to greet everybody, and we're going to look them in the eye, we're going to love them by who we are. That every time we hear, we're going to bring in something of ourselves for somebody to consume. And we think often that there's givers and there's receivers. There's people that function in their spiritual gifts
There's people that have to receive spiritual gifts. I think it's both. I think we come in at the very same morning that I'm going to be preaching, I'm going to be receiving. I'm going to be receiving during fellowship and during worship. I'm going to be receiving because I'm operating and functioning in my gifts. So I'm going to receive from the Holy Spirit himself. So there's a fullness in the life of the body of Christ. And I was going to, I went to see the Texas A&M game with Jim and his boys this week, yesterday. And believe it or not, I didn't even take a selfie to prove that I was there. But Blake will tell you I was there, all right? But I was thinking of using team the last couple weeks as I was studying this, but I thought team doesn't do the body of Christ justice. Jesus doesn't use the word team. He uses the word family. Which one of your kids would you want to give up? Which one of your relatives do you not want around? Well, that's a bad example because we all have relatives we'd like not to be around so much. But it's the body of Christ. Is which organ do you want to be without? Which lip, the upper or the lower lip, do you want to be without? Which eye do you want to be without? Are you okay without eyebrows? Even those things that decorate us and make us beautiful are useful to us and that we enjoy those things. So is there healing power in the body of Christ? Yes, there is. In 1 Corinthians 12:7, it says, "Now to each one of you, to every one of us, has been given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, for every one of us." So every one of us has a gift for every one of us, which means that every one of us needs to receive from every one of us. Not all at the same time, not every Sunday. Some gifts are better used in a block of 3-hour time, a counseling gift. Some gifts are better used as, you know, you're shaking the hand and you're greeting. Some gifts are better used in the kitchen, and that's all okay. But each one of us to be thinking and struggling through what part of the body of Christ was I designed to be? Because until you do that, you won't be as happy and as blessed and at peace and at whole and mature as you will when you're connected to the body of Christ functioning in your gifts. So again, 1 Corinthians 12:12, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all of its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. I mean, can you, we talked a little bit about this, can you imagine the ear saying, "I have no use for the mouth"? Can you imagine the hand saying, "I have no use for my legs"? Or the foot saying, "I don't need my knees"? The foot would be non-functional without the knees. The foot would have, you would just be walking like this. You wouldn't have to bend your ankles. It's an amazing thing when we look at it, but we think constantly, "I don't have much of a part to give. I what I give isn't that important. My presence isn't that important. My healing and my maturity isn't that important. Or I need to wait till I function better in my own life before I give the gift of God in other people's lives," which just is all not true. You want your body functioning together, even if a piece of the body is not functioning well. And what do we call a body that has even one part not functioning well? One part. You just need to get gangrene on a part of your body. You just need to get bit on any part of your body. Get bit on your big toe, and your entire body's going to suffer and be sick and not function well. And it's a disease. And for us, we've got to come into this community and this connection. And doesn't come from you just have more plans. It comes from, all right, what am I going to give this Sunday when I'm in church? And to think about it. Just like I think about my message on Sunday, just like Stevie thinks about coming up here and he has a song list he puts out on Thursday. Just like David and Mike and Chris and Kresha come and they think and they're like, okay, what do I need to bring for Sunday morning? What gift do I bring that we all appreciate? Everybody here has a gift to bring. And then to receive. To receive is equally as important to give. I have found out in my life I'd much rather be giving something to somebody than receiving something. I do not like to need something. I don't like to need anything from anybody. I like to set up my life and be wise enough that I don't have to ask for help on anything. And if I can load it in the truck by myself, I will load it in the truck by myself instead of going asking one person to give me 5 minutes of their time. All right? So we need to learn how to receive. So this idea of what part of the body part don't you need? It's just as ridiculous and sad to say today, I have no need for the spiritual gift of the body of Christ around me. I have no need for worship, I don't get it. I have no need for preaching, I don't get it. But I tell you what, there's a list here, and out of the message, it talks about the gifts of the Spirit, and then remember, there's six different places that have the gifts of the Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Listen, there's a lot, there's a whole bunch, there's not just these, but this is what the passage we used last week. So who among us doesn't need wise counsel or a word of wisdom? You know, think about that. Now, we've helped over time, the last 8 years, a lot of people who walk in poverty. And we've helped some people who walk in poverty, and it's recent. It's just happening to them. We've helped other people that have walked in poverty for a long time. And I can tell you, not any of them walk in wisdom when it comes to their finances. But when it comes to their relationships either. And they don't walk in wisdom. They don't walk in wise counsel when it comes to their physical bodies either. When it comes to their lifestyles. I'm telling you, they need a gift of wisdom. But you know what they want when they walk through these doors? Money. They want a temporary supernatural fix through the body of Christ. I mean, not supernatural, just money. And that's it. But we've got something way better to give them. We've got wisdom to give them. But maybe it's you and your job. Maybe you need a word, and a word of wisdom is just a wise counsel rightly given at a right time. It's something that you don't get through a long counseling session. It's something you get and give because the Holy Spirit is giving it to you through someone. Clear understanding or word of knowledge, just simple trust to have more faith that God's on your side. Who among us here with our marriages or with our kids or with our health don't need more faith and more hope and more belief that God's going to heal us? But we don't think the body of Christ can give us that much. We've decided, I don't need that gift, or I don't want to expose myself to that gift, or I don't want to be, but we're the body of Christ. What part of your body is any other body part, of your physical body, is any other body part embarrassed or ashamed of? Now, your mind might be going, well, I'm fat, or I've got wrinkles, or I'm gray, or okay, but I mean, really, you're not going, oh, God, I don't like my toes, or I don't like my feet so much that I'm just going to ignore them and not do anything. We actually try to work on them and have other body parts increase the function or the desirability of them, and we are the body of Christ, and we function as the bread of life out for other people. We are those pieces of bread, so when Jesus breaks himself off and he gives to somebody, I am going to throw you a piece of bread, so go ahead and catch it, okay? I don't want to knock over your coffee. What happens is we think we give a gift and we give a part of Jesus that we are then partly empty. But we've learned how to give our gifts based on our soul, based on our emotions, based on our intellect, instead of giving a part of Jesus himself out of us so that we never run dry. So imagine I just gave Herman that piece of Jesus. I just gave him a word of wisdom, or I just gave him a prophetic word. Well, then I still have a full remaining loaf of Jesus within me. And guess what he has? He has the fullness of Jesus within him. He has a complete entire loaf. It would have been cool if these loaves all would have been formed back into loaves, huh? I should have bleed for that one. So we're not partaking of our own knowledge and our own information and our own stuff and our own strength. The gift of the Holy Spirit is a charismata, is like a supernatural thing that we've been given. And most of us have tamped it down, and we're going to talk next week why we don't like to function in our gifts and why we have a difficulty receiving from people who function in their gifts. And some of you have some really awful stories of why you don't like to receive certain gifts. I know that. I understand that, or how weird it can get. But I'm telling you, it's a brilliant picture of how God wants to operate in this world. Another thing I noticed about the bread of life when it comes into the body of Christ is the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given for the church, are given for the body of Christ. And you can correct me if I'm wrong, but when I studied this week, I noticed that it's for the body of Christ. And the body of Christ begins to get developed and healed. And then people see our maturity and our wisdom and our unity and our love, and then they want to know what that's from. So I don't go and share Jesus all the time with everybody, throwing Jesus at them, hey, believe this. I did knock over a cup of coffee. doggone it. Well, his name is water, thank you. So what we do, we just chunk it at them. I believe this, boom, oh, they don't want it. But what it really is, it's us experience and enjoying the one who's the bread of life. Us coming to full maturity. And remember, that word maturity is healing and wholeness and united together in him, not on doctrine or action or morals, but on Jesus, the bread of life that's within us. And from that, people are like, you guys smell delicious. You smell yummy. I'm like, man, we're in there feasting and baking bread, and it is amazing. And that's why we look so lean and trim and attractive as people, as human beings, because of Jesus. But what we like to say is, that's why we're so rich. That's why we're so good at our jobs. Jesus has blessed us with these superficial things, come in and participate in these superficial things. But there's something in the, I was going to use the word yumminess, but that doesn't sound like me. And the deliciousness, I don't know if that's either, but the yumminess or deliciousness of the one who's the bread of life is to be present within us as a body of Christ. When we're relating together at the coffee shop, when we're at lunch together. But a big problem is we don't have a lot of lunch together. We don't have a lot of time together. Now, we have some time, and how many people are coming to the women's thing? 16. That's awesome. And we want everyone here to go to that women's thing. That's going to be a good time. We've had that before. But you know what? We need more of you. Now, I'm going to come to church this Sunday, and I'm going to ask so-and-so to go out to lunch with me. I've got some extra money. I'm going to put it in my budget. And once a month, I'm going to ask somebody to go out to lunch with me. You know what? I'm going to open up my home. I don't have to do anything official. I'm going to ask them to come over for lunch. I'm going to ask them to stop by and get some fast food on their own after church and come to my house. It won't cost me anything. And I need to be with somebody. I need people to be with. I need the body of Christ to be with. And again, I hear a lot, especially from our young people, our 20-somethings, that, well, you know what, there's less judgment in a bar. I get to do what I want and be more of myself, or it's just easier, and it's all not true. The bar is just as judgmental, just in a different way. They're just as damaging, just in a different way. So, but there's something that happens that we're supposed to consume the body of Christ, the bread of life, and the body of Christ. So take your neighbor's arm and go, no, I was joking. To consume one another. It sounds weird, doesn't it? But we're to consume one another. And you know, the world system is, yes, consume one another sexually, consume one another relationally, and toss them out when you're done. But we're offering the bread of life. We're offering Jesus. Yeah, come and consume on this gift because it never runs dry. My loaf here never will disappear if I'm giving people of the bread of life. But we like to give them our wisdom, our understanding, our prediction of where the world's going based on a news channel, instead of giving them what Jesus is saying to us about them. And I started with this. Jesus is always the answer. Depression, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer for depression. The bread of life is the answer for depression. The bread of life. Yet it is offensive to tell somebody who's in depression to seek Jesus. It's offensive to tell them, I believe the Lord is telling me if you will start this and stop that, that something amazing will happen in your life. It's offensive. Because I'm just depressed already. I'm just depressed. It's like we act like the one who's going to save us and take us into eternity cannot do a single thing about our life right now. And it's a weird thing, and I bump up against it, and I don't want to challenge it most of the time, but I hear it so much. I hear it so much about these things, and, you know, I'm 53 years old. Somebody asked me the other day how old I was, and I said I was 55. What's that about? And then I was like, wait, no, how old am I? And I had just met them. They don't know how old I'm at. It was at the bus stop. I felt really old, Gil. It's like, what am I doing? But the thing is that, so I struggle. I've struggled just with finances or physically or emotionally or in my thought life. Or just impractical with vision or goals or what's happening or where aren't these things happening that I think God said has happened. But you know what? The answer isn't me doing more work or me having a larger pill or the new pill. It is the bread of life. And the bread of life, and I don't mean the bread of life in some way far away way that you have to really work hard to get to. I mean in the bread of life as you walk into community, you walk into the body of Christ, and there's the bread of life right there, and you begin to partake of people that are there with you. So this idea of this disease and healing and anger and poverty and fatigue and fear, Jesus is the answer. And I think Jesus is the answer, not just in some symbolic communion, which I love our communions. I love what God does in those communions and what he says through our people. But this idea of the body of Christ that is present, the bread of life that's present in the body of Christ. And I want us to put more emphasis on every one of us being the body of Christ. That's what this series started with ordaining Herman and Stevie and what that meant and doesn't mean mostly, trying to break down some myths there. But that when we're connected, get this, we're disease resistant. When we're connected, poverty's going to have to move out of our lives because we're going to start walking in wisdom. Because where I don't have wisdom, you're going to have wisdom. Where you don't have faith, I'm going to have faith. Where when you don't know what to do in your relationship, somebody here will have a God word for you. Not a good word, not a good thought, not I read yesterday, but I prayed for you. I've been praying for you all week, and I came with this gift for you. And I believe this is the scripture of the Lord for you. This is what we're supposed to do together, and I'll help you all along the way. So if you're not, so we're disease resistant, we're drought resistant, we're bug resistant, when we're connected to the body of Christ, we're consuming the bread of life through the body of Christ. If you're not connected to the body, then you're in danger of losing life. I don't think you're in danger of losing salvation, but you're in danger of losing life. That life that's overflowing, the life that's abundant, the life that brings that peace. You know, there's something far greater than I'm going to be rescued from this dump we call the world in my life, my sad life, 50 years down the road. It's called abundant life that happens right now upon my salvation. Jesus isn't giving you any more bread than you already have. He's not giving you any more bread than is already present in the body of Christ here. He's done, he's died, he's been resurrected, he's ascended, and he's living in our hearts in the fullness. It's us to cultivate that and to find that in our own time with him and in our time within the body of Christ. All right, so I hope I connected the bread of life. So I want you to go, if you don't understand that scripture, go and read John 6. When you look back at 1 Corinthians, think about that, about your part this week, that if you would, I want to challenge you to every single day is to think, what gift am I bringing next week? What gift am I bringing next week? What gift am I bringing next week?